This morning, let us turn our attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture beginning with verse 1, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5, which says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" This is the word of God. This morning, I just want to take a few minutes to look at verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train, the train of his robe, filled the temple." I just want to say something this morning about Isaiah's vision. I won't keep you long today. The opening words of this chapter, chapter 6, Isaiah, penned by the prophet Isaiah, the opening words of this chapter provide us with a timing of his vision. It helps us to understand the circumstances that transpired, that caused Isaiah to have this vision. It was a time of natural disaster. And this disaster came at a crucial point in Isaiah's life and ministry. The vision took place in the year that King Uzziah died. This was obviously a significant and painful experience in the life of the prophet. Uzziah's reign, according to scripture, was one of great prosperity for the nation of Judah. The biblical record shows that his reign was second only to the reign of King Solomon, who was the greatest of all the kings. Uzziah was a popular, progressive king who had suffered a tragic end. He was one who, in spite of all that he achieved for the nation, the social justice, the economic prosperity, the military superiority, political prominence among all the other nations, but because of his pride, he was stricken with leprosy and died tragically as a leper. Isaiah the prophet grew up watching in admiration as King Uzziah governed over Judah. He would have been one who prayed for Uzziah and supported Uzziah, who was a good king and a good ruler, an honorable man. Isaiah would have seen the king suffering as a leper in a leper's colony and then die lonely and unceremoniously. I would imagine that Isaiah would wonder, why would God allow this man to come to this end? And ask, where is God, or where was God in the midst of all of this? Did he not hear his people praying for the king? Did he not hear the request of the righteous being made at the temple? Where was God in the midst of this mess? Isaiah was perhaps at the writing of the text, the time of the incident, looking for consolation. He was looking for consolation in a time of national and personal grief. It was a time of personal crisis and national crisis. And it was during that time that God revealed himself to Isaiah. Whatever Isaiah saw from a practical point of view, he had every reason to be discouraged, disillusioned, and distracted. A national crisis is one that, if you are not careful and prayerful, will cause you to become discouraged, disillusioned, and distracted. Notwithstanding, it was this vision from God that God gave to Isaiah that caused him to have the ability to persevere in his ministry and to strengthen his faith in God. Now, you and I, we both know that life can get like that. And the reason this is relevant today, because we can look around and see that we are in the midst of a national disaster, and somebody who is listening to me this morning is in the midst of a personal disaster. When I read this text, I began to reflect on the year 2020. This year has been one of the most devastating years that most of us have seen in our lifetime, and we still got 30 days to go. We've seen the death of civility in government. Corrupt politics has threatened this democratic experiment. The ineptitude and arrogance of the sitting president has brought this nation to the brink of disaster. We've been under relentless attack of the coronavirus, while black and brown people living in poor and underserved communities have suffered and died disproportionately in this pandemic. Over 250,000 Americans have been killed by this virus. More than 250,000 and growing. That's five times the number of soldiers that died in the Vietnam War. There is staggering unemployment. Thousands of small businesses have closed for good. We are witnessing record numbers of home foreclosures, mile-long lines of people waiting to get food for their families. When the average person looks around at this national crisis and is impacted personally, there is a temptation to become discouraged, disillusioned, and distracted by the tragedy. Here in the text, we see Isaiah. And the difference between Isaiah and others, and the difference between you and I and others, is that you and I and Isaiah are called by the Lord. And when you are called by the Lord as one of his own, the Lord has a way of helping you to gain another perspective by making his presence, his power, and his prominence known. He gives us another way of looking at it. And when you look at the tragedy from this different perspective, people who don't know him will call you crazy. But you are not crazy. You are sane. Here, Isaiah is called. And God revealed himself to you. That's what we see in this scripture. So I want to walk through just the first verse to make some observations as we move along. I want you to notice that Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also someone else. Now, in the King James Version, you'll find this wording. It's not in the New King James Version. It's in the King James Version. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And that's important. I saw also Lord. You know that Isaiah was looking at tragedy at the death of the monarch. Isaiah saw depression and desperation and despair, chaos and confusion. He saw the maladies and madness and mayhem of his time, but he also saw the Lord. The word also in this case is vitally important because it indicates that there is an invisible reality to consider for those who call on the name of the Lord. An invisible reality. An invisible reality. An invisible something you can't see that's real. And that's not such a far out thing because we live with invisible realities all the time. The oxygen that fills your lungs is an invisible reality. You can't see it, but if it wasn't here, none of us would be here. The oxygen that fills our lungs is an invisible reality. The carbon monoxide that we exhale is an invisible reality. The nice, beautiful, melodious sounds that come from the choir this morning and the musicians, they are all invisible realities. There is a such thing as an invisible reality. The microwaves, the signals that are connecting us right now, connecting your Bluetooth, those are invisible realities. And what Isaiah is discovering here and what he is saying to us is that there's more to it than what we can see. There is an invisible reality. Isaiah gives us a graphic description of his vision, an image of an invisible reality. And he reminds us that these invisible realities are at work in the world. It requires faith. In the text, Isaiah, by faith, gets a glimpse of the invisible reality that he makes known to us through the word of God to the people of faith. Without faith, you can't see it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command, and what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen, an invisible reality. An invisible reality that reveals to the people of faith that God is in charge. And I hope that you and I are in the same place this morning because I believe that God is. Isaiah saw all that was going on around him. You and I see every day on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. We hear it all the time on POTUS radio. What is going on around us? And I'm here to remind you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, is that there is an invisible reality. That we can see all of this, but we have to lift up our eyes so we can see also the Lord. Amen. Isaiah saw also, he saw the Lord. Now this title, the Hebrew word used here, is Yahweh. And the Hebrew is Adonai. And the word Adonai, the title Adonai, means the sovereign master. And this is the supreme title of God in the Old Testament, the title that reveals that the God of the Bible is absolute sovereign and he's always seated on the throne. Amen. Y'all, we got a king who reigns. And even though his kingdom right now is invisible, he reigns. I remember the poem James Russell Lowell He didn't know God when he wrote these words. And this, I'm always impressed when I hear people recite the poem, but it's just wrong. Y'all know James Russell Lloyd, Truth Forever on the Scaffold? You know that one? Wrong forever on the throne, yet the scaffold weighs the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. No, only God is enthroned. The psalmist raised the question in Psalms 113, who can be compared to the Lord our God who is enthroned on high? God alone is enthroned. There is no wrong on the throne forever. Only God is on the throne. He is enthroned on high, and all things in heaven and earth are subject to him. Even wrong has to get permission from God. And then God is not standing in the shadow. He is light. The brightness of his glory displaces shadow. The songwriter rightly said, there's not a shadow of turning with thee. The Apostle John declares that this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. I want you to know that even though things are bad nationally, that we are in the midst of a national tragedy, and even though there's some personal struggle in your life, I want you to be reminded this morning that God still rules. Amen. You gotta embrace that. You gotta internalize that our God is sovereign. We should be reminded at this point that God is always on the throne. Regardless of the political landscape in which we live, when government officials appear to be corrupt, and when flagrant disregard for God's law runs rampant in the country, God is still on the throne. When newspaper reports shock us, or worse, when we become so numb to the shocking news that it no longer actually shocks us, we need to remember that God is still on the throne. When the outlook is bleak, well, we do well to look up to see God on the throne. As a matter of fact, like the psalmist said, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We got to be reminded that God is in charge. Don't grow weary, y'all. Don't give up. Don't leave. Hang in there. Ask God to give you a vision of himself, and then open his word, and he will show you who he is, what he is capable of, and he will disclose to you the promises that he made to you. Y'all, you got to hold on. Isaiah was in the same condition that we are in, and God showed him a vision that Isaiah wrote down for our benefit. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also Adonai. I saw the Lord. And what was he doing? He was seated on high. This is the last point I want to make, and I'm finished. I saw also the Lord. He was seated on high, and his train filled the temple. The mention of the temple here has driven some of the commentators that I looked at to conclude that Isaiah must have been literally in an earthly temple in Jerusalem when this vision was given, and that might be the case. But we ought to know that the temple here is a reference of God's heavenly throne room upon which the earthly temple is patterned. Amen. The ancient Hebrews, on their way to the holy hill, they would look up to the hill where the temple was. And they knew that their help didn't come from the building. They knew their help came from the one who occupied the most holy place in the holy. They knew that their help come from the Lord. Can I just say again this psalm? I will look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. Yeah. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber. He who watches over Israel does not go to sleep. The Lord himself is watching over you. Amen. He is watching. The Lord stands beside you as a protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm, and he watches over your life. The Lord watches over you as you come and go, both now and forever. The Lord is seated on his throne, and his robe, he has all power. His robe filled the temple. The real significance of the mention of the temple is not Isaiah's location on earth when he received the vision, but the fact that the train of God's robe filled the temple. God's glory is portrayed in the royal robes, which completely fills the space where he is. There is no space in the throne room for anything else. God is in charge. As God sat enthroned, his regal garments filled the temple, his throne room, leaving no space for anyone else. God utterly fills the space of sovereignty. Not only is God sovereign, he alone is sovereign. Amen. But there is another king who died on the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He was seen alive for 40 days after his passion. He ascended into heaven for his coronation. And he is seated at the right hand of majesty on high, making intercession for you right now. He has all power in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And his kingdom shall come in its fullness. And when it does, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And he shall reign forever and ever and ever. He shall reign forevermore. Praises to his wonderful name. Holy and blessed is his name. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Just a word about God. You got to look up to see him. Because when you look around, all there is trouble. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the reminder that you are in charge. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would lift the spirits of your people who have been in a kind of exile. And some may be even wondering, how can we sing Zion songs in a strange land? God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would reveal yourself to the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you would encourage them right now, that you would give them perseverance, that you would give them patience, that you would give them strength while you work things out. Father, help us to embrace tightly Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Father, bless your people with extraordinary grace and give them the ability to hold on. Thank you for answering my prayer in advance. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for always hearing me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.